Newberry.com.
No, we're not from West Newberry. No, we can't hip-hop like you. My client is the conqueror. I'm just Brock's advocating Jew. You gonna beat Brock's ass cause you the doctor of the thugs? I mean, you've beaten all the best, but now Lesnar's on your plate. You say your time is now. Brock says your calendar's out of date.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
I have options on how I handle this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tweet about it until my fingers bleed. In that tweet, and however many characters I get, I am going to threaten. That's right. If I don't get what I want, I'm going to riot. And if that doesn't work, then by God, me and my friend Mark, we're going to stop watching.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke.
I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Because we're here. It's the season premiere of the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented as always by PWMania.com and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion action figure needs from the one and only Matt Goldberg. I am, of course, Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
And we started Monday Night Raw off so right tonight. Oh my gosh. The family was back together. The chair was there. The fireflies were out. Oh yeah. That's how every Raw should start.
It put Lindsay in a good mood. And over the last few weeks, since we haven't been on air, we've only been commenting on the Rack Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, which we have an announcement coming up about that program here in a little while. We've been talking about how they've been dropping the ball with the Wyatt family, mainly Bray Wyatt, usually, but the entire family as a whole. And the man's in the chat room to start off says he's been very disappointed with how they've been handling Mr. Bray Wyatt. But tonight, the man was in a cage to start off for the season premiere in Baltimore, Maryland, against Y2J Chris Jericho. React to the cage match.
I wanted this to be about 5 minutes longer. Just because it felt a little rushed. Even though I think they got two commercial breaks out of it, I wanted it to be just a little bit longer. It was a good match. It was much better than the cage match between Bray and Cena.
Oh, 100 times better.
I liked the fact that this was way more physical. Bray was very aggressive. Jericho was very aggressive. They were going at one another. Luke and Eric played a very minimal role in this match, which again, I like. I don't mind them getting involved a little bit. I don't mind them stopping Jericho once or twice, which they did. But to the extent that they got involved in Cena's match, I had a little bit of a problem with it. This was 100 times better. It was laid out better. Jericho going off the top of the cage, holy sweet baby Jesus on a tiny pony. I seriously hope he didn't break something, because, oh my god.
He looked like he killed himself. He has a knee injury, is what they're calling after the big fall, and they worked on it right after the match, too. Because he shrugged his shoulders like, alright, why not? It's a season premiere, let's fly off the top of the cage, and that's exactly what he did.
And he landed on Bray's head, and his... landed on his knee, which is never good. So Bray might have got his bell rung a little bit too, but this was 100 times better than what it was with Cena. I am with LeMans. The ending of this was a little anticlimactic, especially since Bray just kind of fell out of the cage, which I was pretty much expecting. Again, I don't personally like escape cage matches. I don't like that finish. I know they always go for that finish. If you're gonna do a cage match, I would rather see somebody get pinned or being forced to submit in the ring. Because when you do the escape rules, it's 90% of the matches usually people are trying to escape. And I would just rather see them go at it in the cage. But that's just me personally. But yeah, Bray, there was a nice struggle between Bray and Jericho at the end where Bray was stopping Jericho from coming out of the cage. He was attacking the knee. And then Bray just kind of falls out of the cage.
He mounted him. He finished and fell over.
Bracers has already got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Of course they did. He mounted. He finished. He rolled over to his side and fell to the floor. This one felt more like a cage match compared to the John Cena Bray Wyatt match at Extreme Rules. This one, you could tell they worked both styles. They worked the escape the cage style. Like, there was a moment where Bray tried to escape very early, and I think that was him trying to sucker in Jericho. Like, I'm going to just play mind game with you. I'm just going to screw you out of the opportunity to get in the ring with me, and bam, get out of the cage. At least that's how I took it. I took it as him trying to screw with Jericho rather than him trying to be a coward and get out of the cage. But that's just how I saw it. So yeah, Bray Wyatt wins by escaping the cage, and then after the match, well, kiss Chris Jericho basically goodbye for the moment, it seems like, maybe. Unless he is going to be teaming up with a certain person at Night of Champions, but we'll have to see about that one. As Bray Wyatt hits Sister Abigail and her kiss, laying out Chris Jericho in the ring. Great, I guess 15-20 minutes to open up Monday Night Raw. If maybe even 30, who knows? They got a long time. It delivered. Again, the it's always tricky to do escape the cage rules in terms of trying to build the drama to escaping the cage. At times, at least they sort of came up with a creative finish with him falling out rather than, you know, the typical let's climb the cage and whoever gets races out wins type deal. Because that's sometimes like, oh, we know you can drop. It's just, they were trying something in this one, and, well, I thought it delivered for what it needed to deliver.
I thought it delivered what it needed to deliver, but they were obviously trying to make Bray look a little bit stronger in this one. Another kind of issue, because LeMans brings it up, is that, you know, they're trying to tone down Wyatt with the small things, like him trying to escape early, and, you know, basically Wyatt should destroy Jericho and not escape. And I agree with that. Jericho, they have really nice physicality throughout the match, but it was very even, which is good. That's what you want. The problem with this match, aside from the kind of odd finish, was there was no real animosity going into it. There was no reasoning behind them fighting in a cage other than, hey, guess what? Y'all two are going in a cage. Because the last time Bray and Jericho faced each other, Bray won on his own. He beat Jericho clean in the middle of the ring at SummerSlam, and Jericho afterwards was like, yeah, good match. And that was it. So, you know, it was something of, there was nothing else driving them to this match. And I honestly, since this is probably the last match that we're going to see Jericho in for a while until he decides to come back again, I would have liked to have seen a better build to this, because, again, I still don't understand why this did not go on the pay-per-view. You could have put this on Night of Champions, and it would have been perfectly fine, unless Jericho is not staying through Night of Champions as originally thought.
I think Jericho is staying, and we'll I'll give more of the reason later when we talk about the main event. LeMann says he doesn't have the cult feeling anymore like he did with the singing. I disagree a little bit. The Fireflies, that's sort of the new cult thing rather than the singing. People, they cut back on the singing because they thought he was getting over too much like a face. So they cut him back on the singing a little bit.
The thing is what kind of hurts him with the cult feeling is he has not been with Bray and Luke. Or, I'm sorry, Luke and Eric nearly as much. They've made him almost too much like a regular wrestler, and he's not really treated as special anymore.
He is and he isn't.
You know, we don't get the entrance all the time. He doesn't, and when he does the entrance, it's not always with Eric and Luke. The chair isn't always there. There's something very special to that entrance that we like to term the Bray Wyatt experience, because that's what it is. It is an experience, and people go to the shows just to hold their cell phones up. And you see the number of people holding their phones up every week, and it's getting larger, and it's growing, and it's something of that adds to it, and it's really cool to see that, especially from a TV perspective. And I wish they would keep that up and keep that going. But it's, you know, in terms of Bray, I think they are trying to bring him down a little bit. I would agree with that. Just because he went all the way up to Cena, and he went up to Cena very quickly. He basically jumped about 3 steps after the Shield. Or actually after Bryan. Which is good and bad, because it's good because it got him the exposure of wrestling Cena. It's bad in the sense of you can't go any higher than Cena in terms of the regular roster. Because once you go up to Cena, then you're looking at more the featured attractions, and Bray's not quite ready for those yet. So they kind of have to tone him down a little bit to put him on the level where he can feud with other people on the main roster right now. I don't like it, but I understand why they have to do it. I just wish they found other ways to bring him down other than what they're doing right now, because there are other simpler ways that you could do that without jobbing him out. But thankfully, they didn't job him out tonight.
The man says he deserves way more than Roman Reigns. Yeah, I agree. I agree 110% on that one. Moving on the show, we head backstage with the match. Kane is very giddy, and so is Seth Rollins, over Bray Wyatt winning.
Yeah, don't tease me with those feelings, Kane. Just don't do it.
Triple H came in and he tells Seth and Kane that this is the season premiere, so they have to put on something that no one will forget. Cue Randy Orton. Randy asks how memorable you want this to be. He says he's the one man in the main event. If it isn't the corporate suit or the corporate sellout, it's going to be him. He wants to do something that makes what Seth did to Dean Ambrose another day at Sunday school. So Randy says that Hunter will not regret it. So what will Randy Orton do is the question. In the segment where we saw a lot of someone that we probably didn't think we would ever see, Dolph Ziggler comes out, talks how about it's been a very controversial week in WWE, and especially in Hollywood. Many celebrities have had their phones hacked and their photos posted from the cloud. No celebrity deserves to be tormented more than, well, this one D-list celebrity. His name is The Miz. He says he has some interesting photos to share, which includes The Miz getting a facial, his chest being shaved. Miz comes out with Damian Mizdow. Miz says this is an outrageous invasion of his privacy. He said he invaded the sanctity of his home. Those were medical purposes only. And he will sue Dolph Ziggler the people, everyone in the building, or anyone who republishes those photos, or don't go on Tumblr. Miz promises Dolph if he takes it any further, he will make sure Dolph never works in this town again. Well, if he's not going to be able to work in this town, he might as well get his money's worth. Cue we seeing Sandow putting spray tan on Miz's backside. Yep, this happened.
Yeah, that happened, and Sandow's face when it happened. Oh my god. Sandow just sold it, and it was hilarious.
It was tremendous.
You can tell somebody had a lot of fun taking pictures at Raw tonight.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, they now have Adam Rose and Bo Dallas commenting on the WWE Countdown on the WWE Network for only $9.99. So you can see they've done new interviews.
We didn't get Bo.
We didn't get Bo this week, sadly.
Fail.
Sadly. Match number two on the show, it was Natalya and Rosa Mendez taking on AJ Lee and Paige. Partners really didn't want to tag for a while. Rosa and Natty worked all right early, but towards the end, Rosa wasn't willing to tag in Natty, and Paige wasn't really willing to tag in AJ. Paige was taunting AJ for a while, and then, well, AJ got a hold of Paige and smacked her right in the boob to tag herself in, and then she made Rosa tap out to the black window. So your winners, Paige and AJ Lee. Then, well, things got interesting as, well, they went face to face, and, well, AJ took the belt from Paige, and Paige won the belt back, and, well, AJ kissed the belt. Then, well, Paige got the belt. She kissed the belt. AJ skipped out of the ring. And, yeah. Omega became jealous of the belt.
A lot of people became really jealous of the belt. I'm pretty sure there were plenty of people that wanted to be that belt.
Probably. Thoughts?
I really liked the stuff between Natty and Paige at the beginning with the reversals and the counters.
Right.
This was basically whenever Rosa was in the ring, I would say Wapa Rosa, sadly, because you've got three former Divas champions in the ring, three very, very talented wrestlers, and I'm not knocking Rosa at all for that, but Rosa just is not on the same level as AJ and Paige and Natty, especially Natty. Like, you got to see kind of how good Natty really is tonight in some places, and yeah, but the match itself was fine. Obviously, this was to get Natty and Rose on TV for Total Divas, and also to further AJ and Paige's storyline, as AJ and Paige and Nikki are going at Night of Champions for the Divas title. I like the teases that they're doing with them. I like how the frenemies thing is playing out, and how they're just playing very subtle mind games with each other. And yes, basically they swap spits, so AJ and Paige kissed tonight on Raw.
Yeah, in an odd way, yes, they did.
Well, it was like the time when she kissed Punk and then she kissed Brian, like within 5 seconds of each other, and everybody's like, "Oh my god, I think Brian and Punk just kissed each other through AJ."
I know. Yeah. Yes, they did. So we've been teasing it a little bit, and since we're talking about Total Divas, we might as well drop the bombshell right now, Lindsay. You think?
I think we should.
So without further ado... This Thursday night on the Racket, 10 p.m. Eastern, you will hear from the one, the only, Miss All Red Everything, Eva Marie, is on the Rack.
That's right. She talks to us all about season 3 of Total Divas and kind of her thoughts and opinions on what's going on in WWE right now. So you definitely don't want to miss it if you're a fan of Eva Marie, the Divas, WWE in general, or Total Divas. So Thursday night, 10 p.m. on the Rack, Eva Marie joins us.
after that,
she killed my mic.
She did kill her mic. Like, right after the interview, it died. That's why Lindsay sounds a lot better with a brand new microphone.
Mm-hmm.
So we go backstage. The doctors are checking on Chris Jericho in the trainer's room. He's getting his knee checked out, and Randy Orton attacks. And, well, he knocks him off the table, beats on him a little bit, and says, well, sorry, but it's the season premiere.
Yeah, okay, you're on 52 weeks a year. You do not have a season premiere. I don't care that it's Monday Night Football. Alright, you do not have a season premiere because you have no season. Just pointing that out. Just like this show does not have a season premiere because we have no season.
We took 2 weeks off at the season premiere.
We took 2 weeks off because your internet sucks.
No, my internet is great now. Oh.
Just saying, this was, and in terms of the segment, I would have liked to have seen it be the Wyatts. To finish Jericho off. I felt Randy doing it was just... It's like, really, Randy? You're going to come in and pick the bones after Bray did all the work for you? I mean, that's just... Yeah.
Oh, sweet Jesus. They just brought up Super Shredder and on the countdown.
Oh, dear God.
And Bo Dallas was like, oh, my God, he was Super Shredder? I had no idea.
Oh, God, Bo.
They're talking about Kevin Nash. Yeah, you can't tell how much of the WWE Network as we're doing this show, as all you should be. It's only $9.99, which there were no $9.99 plugs tonight on the season premiere of Raw. Just...
No, there weren't.
Huh. Hmm. Kind of backed off on that one a little bit this week. So... I think Jericho's wrestling in Night of Champions, and he's going to be involved with Randy Orton somehow. Just call it a hunch.
You think Jericho and Orton are going to go?
In some fashion, yes.
I kind of hope not.
I don't want it, but I think that's going to be the direction. For some reason. But we'll see.
If Jericho shows up at Night of Champions, it gives Randy a match, but I have a feeling, just call it a hunch, that Randy and Roman are going to go one more time, probably at Night of Champions, and we're going to get a chinlock fest. Again.
Chinlock. Hashtag chinlock.
Oh my Jesus. Just wait till we get to the main event.
Oh, I know. Ladies and gentlemen, his name is Paul Heyman, and he's the advocate for Brock Lesnar. And he was in the ring. He walked through the valley of the Sea Nation. He has no fear of Thuganomics because he's the advocate for the Beast, the Conqueror, the reigning undisputed WWE Champion of the World. Brock Lesnar, his client, authorized him to... disseminate confidential information, and he wants to deliver it this morning as if he were up face-to-face of the hero, John Cena. Cue John Cena. Cena tells Paul not to worry. He didn't want to stretch anyone's imagination. If you want to say something to my face, go ahead. Talk. Paul says that he only tells Brock that until SummerSlam, John was the greatest WWE champion of all time. It takes a special man to be confronted by the truth by the greatest advocate in the history of WWE. Paul says that Brock thought that John would come out tonight. If that happened, he was authorized to drop the warning and actually give John some inside information. Mole, this is John's lucky night because John will be told how to beat Brock Lesnar at Night of Champions. John said he knows how to win at Night of Champions. Those three simple words are, Brock beat up The Undertaker and we haven't heard a peep from him, from The Undertaker. John Cena loses at SummerSlam. 1 week later, he's ready to go again. Cena's strategy is simple. Never...
No, okay, no.
Hold on.
No, we're stopping right... No.
Let me finish. It's a sentence. Never give up. Go.
No. No, no, John. No. You are not better or greater than The Undertaker. No. No. Fail. No. Take it back. Now. I will find you. Talking smack about my fuzzy taker. As I recall, In watching the match with SummerSlam, it took less moves for Brock Lesnar to beat your ass than did The Undertaker's. Just saying.
You good now?
I'm good. He talks smack about my fuzzy taker. I cannot stand for that.
I know. Cena tells Paul to tell Brock he will see him at Night of Champions. Paul laughs and then asks if it's him or can John now help being John Cena. With all due respect, this is your biggest problem. You live to be John Cena. You live to be the kid that walks, waits and waits and waits for the opportunity to come to a live event or come to Baltimore to chant at the top of our lungs, "Let's go, Cena." When Brock stands in the ring, he doesn't hear anyone but three people, the referee who can disqualify him, Paul Heyman, who strategizes with him, and Brock's opponents, who suffer at his hand. Paul has a gift, and it's not even Hanukkah. That made me pop. Paul tells John to give in to the temptation. John comes out, and people chant, "Cena sucks." Paul says that if it gets to John, it's one thing when someone of his stature and credentials say it, but what about that fat and ugly unemployed guy in the sixth row? Do you want to go? Don't you want to go to for that hatred and contempt you have in your soul to tell that person to shut up? Paul tells John to tell him to shut up. And then he does a rap about John Cena and mentions the Ravens and all that fun, happy stuff. And, well, it basically wants him to lose the idea of hustle, loyalty, and respect. When you dig deep down in your soul, you can be the one who beat the one in 21-1, where John Cena become one of the many victims who fell at the hands of the conqueror, Brock Lesnar. And then, well, Paul Heyman, well, yeah, just goes.
Cena sucks! 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 Oh, see, it gets to you, doesn't it? It gets to you. And it's one thing when a man of my stature and my credentials and my accomplishments say Cena sucks. You have to respect me, but what happens when they say it? What happens when that big, fat, ugly, unemployed guy in the sixth row right there says Cena sucks? Don't you just want one time to tap in to that hatred and that contempt and that disdain and that resentment inside your soul and turn to him one time and say, shut up! One time, one moment of your life, and the rest falls into place so much easier. Look, I'll help you. I'll take you by the hand, and I'll do it with you. We'll do it together. They say, Cena sucks, and you tell him to shut up. In 3, 2, 1, watch. Ready? We do it together. Shut up! Come on, say it with me. Shut up!
Shut up, Paul Heyman! And now, I'm cutting to the chase and telling you that I'm done talking and it's time to fight. No, I know you're an advocate, but you should love this moment because this is where you see rage. This is where you see fury. This is where I can take that pudgy face of yours and pound it into clay. Yeah, but then the headlines read, John Cena beats up defenseless Paul Heyman. I don't want that. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you 7 days. Next week, I'm showing up to Raw to fight. I got a little strategy for you. Bring the beast. Bring your client. Bring the one, Brock Lesnar. Because if he decides to show up, I'm going to get in the ring with him and we're going to fight. But if he decides to take another week off, if he decides to continue his vacation, if he decides to let you come out and do his business for him, well then, Mr. Heyman, I'm going to fight you. Have a nice week, Paul. I'll see you next Monday.
what this little clip from WWE did not do is most of what John Cena says. And he talked about Paul living in a world of eat, sleep, conquer, repeat. Well, he lives in a world of eat, sleep, be John Cena, repeat. He almost cried throughout this. He told a story about meeting a wounded war veteran, meeting with the children, and it was a good promo from John. It went on a little bit too long, but it was just a really good segment between the two. It really hyped the match, and this is where Lindsay's going to tell you this is how you should react it when you were dealing with Bray Wyatt.
No, because this is how he reacted when he dealt with Bray Wyatt. This is exactly what he did, and you have basically Heyman doing almost the same thing Bray Wyatt was trying to do, where they're trying to pull that very human reaction out of John Cena concerning the world around him and what this segment kind of showed. And this is Cena the character, I'll get to Cena the person in a second, is that Cena the character is not human. He's not a realistic human character because he does not have the human reactions that we would all have. Eventually you get fed up. Eventually you have enough. Eventually you're not going to take it anymore. And eventually you lash back. And John Cena really kind of does what he always does in those situations, which is he makes it a joke. He makes fun of whomever he's going against. He jokes about the situation. He doesn't take it seriously. He doesn't seem concerned. He doesn't seem worried. Now, Cena the person, I cannot fault him for talking about the Wounded Warrior. I cannot fault him for his work with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. The man is a saint. Okay? Say what you want about him. But on outside of WWE, all of the charity work that he does, how he sacrifices his time off to do everything that he does, the man is a saint. I have absolutely no qualms with that. What I have a problem with is the character, and I've said this before and I will continue to say it, is that I just take issue with the way that they portray the character in the fact that he doesn't change and he doesn't react like we all do, and this man is a role model for children. And it's not a realistic role model. It's a wonderful role model because he stands up for what he believes in, and he doesn't bully people. At least he acts like he doesn't bully people, but in reality he kind of does. And it's just, it's something of, he does not have real human emotion, he doesn't have real human reactions. And that's really what I want to see from John Cena. And we actually got really close to that in this feud before he faced Brock the first time.
Right.
And it's just, it's something of, this was a great segment. Heyman is a national treasure. He needs to be protected at all costs. I'm not even going to argue that Heyman's side of this wasn't good. Cena, he got a good promo. He got a passion promo. Didn't have a problem with that. It's just, it was a very typical Cena promo. And it was, he didn't really say anything we heard different, but it was interesting to see him talking about the vet and the Make-A-Wish kids and that, and him tearing up at it, which shows that that is a cause that's very near and dear to his heart.
Oh, yeah.
And that's wonderful. But it's again, it's just, I'm waiting for him to snap. Because that's what I want to see happen, is I want to see John Cena just either have an emotional breakdown, he has a mental breakdown, he just snaps, something happens where a trigger goes off in him and he just loses it. Because nobody can repress the kind of crap that that man takes for as long as he has repressed it without lashing back at some point.
This is very true. Very,
so,
very true.
That's my only complaint, is they're basically doing Bray and Cena 2.0 with Heyman and Cena. And it's like, if Paul Heyman cannot pull a rise out of you, there's something wrong with you. Because that man could make a nun curse.
This is very true. If you're just tuning in, this is the Raw post-show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm Sir Rock, and she's Lindsay Ward. We also host The Rack live 10 p.m. Eastern on Thursday night right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And Eva Marie will be our guest this Thursday night.
LeMann says they will never turn Cena. They're not going to turn Cena right now. They will not turn Cena until probably a few more years. Because right now they're looking to establish Cena's replacement, as Cena's starting to have problems. He's starting to break down. So as Cena kind of shifts from the main event to being a more feature attraction, they will probably turn Cena heel at some point in that range. But right now, no, they're not going to turn him. They have no reason to. He's a cash cow.
He's the cash cow, brother, and if he ever turns, he'll be to start the NWO, brother. I don't know.
Well, that would be an interesting concept. If Cena starts the NWO, who would he start it with?
I don't know. I don't know. Good question. We'll have to think about it. Next matchup on the card, Sheamus versus Seth Rollins. Really good match.
Very good match. Liked the ending of the match. Liked the ending a lot.
So, they flirted a while, but then the foreplay kind of sort of happened as Seth Rollins...
That was not foreplay. That was just ripping each other's clothes off, and I was okay with that.
As Cesaro was out there, he had a tug-of-war with the belt, distracted Sheamus, and then Seth Rollins hit the curb stomp for the win. Seth Rollins beats the United States champion in this non-title match thanks to Cesaro. And then Cesaro came in the ring, yelled, "Fella!" and laid him out with the neutralizer, holding up the belt.
Yeah, this just... I want a tuxedo match between these two. I want to see it happen. Just somebody book it, please.
Yeah, right? It just needs to sort of happen for you?
Yeah, it needs to happen. I would be okay with that.
You'd be okay?
Yeah, totally be okay. First match needs to be a tuxedo match.
Well, they fight at Night Champions, so maybe we can get the request in for it to become a...
I already requested it.
There you go. So our next little segment of the show features the one, the only, Lana.
Most of Americans do not know that the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, was written in this decrepit city.
Shut her down!
Shut up! Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, everyone stood in awe of Russian Rus' might. Here is the real national anthem in celebration of the patriot Rusev.
I will cut that there. The best part of this segment was that she was doing the national anthem, and they cut to the guy who's singing along, and then she changes the verse, and he's like,
I know. That's great.
Oh, Lana. Oh, Lana.
Props to her for singing with the accent.
Yes, well done. Yeah. That was really well done. As the gear from Mark Henry and Rusev at Night of Champions. But on Thursday night, which we were the same night as the Rack, Tempe Meets the Ring here on TalkRadio.com, is NXT TakeOver 2, The Fatal 4-Way, which will be headlined by four men, Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville, Tyler Breeze, and Tyson Kidd. And just by coincidence, they were on Raw tonight in an NXT TakeOver match. Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville took on Tyler Breeze and Tyson Kidd. They decked out the arena. They gave it yellow lights. They put the NXT logos up on the Tron. It was tremendous.
Dude, I thought the internet was going to explode.
They almost did. They almost, in fact, did. Really good stuff between all these four men.
Oh, this was amazing.
And the one thing you notice in this one, they have speed.
Oh, they do have speed. Yeah, especially with Neville. Oh, yeah. You could tell this meant a lot to Breeze and Neville and Zayn because they were out of the NXT arena and they were really putting on a show.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell that they had the room to really put on something fantastic, and they took full advantage of it. I loved how the announcers were really trying to put them over to the TV audience. They were telling you who they were. They were saying, you know, well, if you want to see more of them, get the WWE Network, because NXT TakeOver is Thursday. I really liked how they did this, and I almost kind of wish that they would do more of these types of matches on Raw, where we would get to see some of the NXT talent every once in a while, where you get introduce them to the TV audience without debuting them, and you get to see them.
I wouldn't do it every week, but once a month I would throw out a match like this.
Yeah, once a month, you know, something like that. Because that gives you the chance, that changes everything up, and that adds something really fresh to the product that it doesn't have right now. And you get to see some really great matches, because everybody down in NXT is very hungry, you can tell, and they're looking to make a name for themselves and prove themselves. And if you give them the opportunity to do that, they will. And so, you know, and that was an example tonight, with Breeze and Zayn and Neville. And not trying to take anything away from Kidd, because Kidd was very good as well, but he's on the main roster, he's not in developmental, so.
The one thing I will say about Tyson Kidd, those yellow trunks did not work.
Oh no, 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 honey, no, no, no. Oh god.
Adrian Neville won with the red arrow, and they put it over huge, which is awesome. He did a nice standing shooting star. Zayn did a nice planche on the Kidd on the outside, and then the red arrow on Breeze for the victory. Sami Zayn and Neville then went face to face as we went to break. So get ready, NXT TakeOver, the Fatal 4-Way, this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern on the WWE Network for only $9.99, and then tune into the Rack as we will give you everything that happened on NXT TakeOver, the Fatal 4-Way on the Rack, because that's what we do. We talk about NXT on the Rack.
Could you get our show name in there any more time?
I could, if I really wanted to say the Rack. But instead of saying the Rack, I want to say
oh my god. This segment. Oh Jesus, this segment.
This was as Jerry Springer-ish as you get.
No, it wasn't. Steve wasn't there.
Well, Steve left the show. Remember this.
I don't care. You bring him back for a one-time thing.
I think they had a falling out.
Well, you know what? They can settle it on Monday Night Raw.
They can settle it on Monday Night Raw. Yeah, so Stephanie McMahon comes out and talks about how in this arena about 10 years ago, it was about over 11, that she and her father had a match that we've talked about before, and, well, her and her father have made up, but it's time to get the Bellas back together, so she brings out Jerry Springer. He says he's been dealing with family dysfunction for at least 24 years. When he heard what's going on with Nikki and Brie, he said, why not come to Raw and do it? We had a video package, brought up Brie. Brie's music sucks. talked about the apology that Nikki accepted from Brie. Jerry suggested that Brie thinks she's better than Nikki, and then Nikki came out. Nikki said she accepted Brie's apology, but doesn't mean the fact that she will accept being treated like a second-class sister. Nikki says that she's ready to get past this because she is an intelligent and classy woman. She has a lot going for her, including she's the star of her show, Total Divas. The premiere last night, she has a title match in 2 weeks. She couldn't be happier. She's not going to let Brie's negativity bring her down. Nikki says she felt sorry for Brie, and then Jerry Springer was stirring the pot a little bit. We had what happened at SummerSlam, and Jerry says this happened long before SummerSlam. We had a montage from Total Divas, so when Nikki says she wouldn't be surprised if Brie was the reason why Dad left them, which was an ouch moment. She said she would leave if there was someone as attention-seeking as Brie. And then we have Nikki and Brie's parents trying to want this all to come together. We then had their brother come out because Brie's getting backed by JJ. Then we had the girls fight. They slapped one another. Then they started to roll around and fight. They took down Jerry Springer. Stephanie comes out. She gets knocked down. She sells it over the top like a McMahon would. Officials come down to separate them. They still go at it. And they go back and forth for a while until they all get separated. Jerry Springer gets taken out on a stretcher. Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer.
Is this the point where I'm supposed to?
I can. If you don't want to say anything, I can go.
No, I have a couple things I can say about this.
By the way, I had to get a clip of this, and the clip on YouTube was 10 hours long of just that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this. Oh, this. They took this feud, which started out really good and really strong and made it really stupid very fast. And again, it's Brie's reactions. I understand that it's a slow burn. I've said that before. But you're not having Brie get angry, which she should. She's starting to. But she should have already been there by now. And it's just, yeah, this didn't help things. I'm just going to say it. Nikki, honey, I know you want to wear your sparkly heels and your nice dresses, but if you're going to brawl, all-out brawl, Jerry Springer style in the ring, wear some goddamn pants. Okay? Your sister wore pants. Just pointing that out. Sorry, that's like a huge pet peeve with me. It's like, if you're going to have the girls fight, have the girls fight. Have them wear pants and don't fight in cocktail dresses and heels.
Okay. I have nothing to add to that. Continue.
But this segment, this segment kind of hurt. Because, like I said, they took a very interesting feud that they could have taken in a very different direction and just kind of made it stupid.
See, the way they did it on SmackDown, I was really interested. They did a nice job where they focused on the wrestling. And on Raw, they're focusing a little bit too much on the entertainment aspect. If they get back to a little bit more of the wrestling aspect of it, it could be really interesting again.
Yeah, I mean, it's something of, you basically have Nikki, I don't like the fact that you're having Nikki going out there and accusing her of being a bad sister. I would rather it be that Nikki's like, what the hell, you abandoned me, you left me here, you know, to stand by your husband, and you never gave a thought to me or what would happen to me. You, when I got hurt with my shin, you didn't seem to care. You went off and, you know, had your singles career, and again, didn't care about me.
Right.
Didn't worry about me. That's the kind of more the stuff that I feel like they should be concentrating on instead of Brie. You know, it's like if you want to say that Brie is taking advantage of Nikki, or Brie is not a good, or I shouldn't say good, but not a supportive sister of Nikki, that's kind of how, where you want to go with that. Not, you know, saying that, oh, well, you know, this happened when we were 12. Because guess what? Shit happens when you're a kid. Especially if you have siblings.
Yeah.
And it's just something of, you can harbor those feelings if you want, but it just doesn't make sense, especially from what she's talking about, and the growing up Bella stuff was just, yeah, that was kind of the downward spiral with it, because it's like, Nikki's sitting there going, well, I did this, this, and this for Brie, but I never told anyone. Despite the fact that it's launched some great, great memes, it just was not... it's just not coming across, I think, they want it the way that they want it to. And this is a really good opportunity for them to establish Nikki and Brie as individuals. And while you're establishing them as individuals, I don't think you're establishing them as the people that you want to establish them as. Because you did a really, really, really good job with Brie in building her very strong, especially in the feud with Stephanie McMahon. And now you're kind of, you're lowering her again.
Just a little bit.
Because you're having them do Jerry Springer style brawls. And I know Steph and Brie brawled. I know they slapped each other around. I know the police were involved. But it was the way that it was presented in a very real life situation that I think made it better.
So there you go. And because I had to actually clip it. My time's worth on that one. So yeah, they stretchered out Jerry Springer to end things. And he gave the big old, I'm alright, thumbs up. And that's awesome. Goldust and Stardust took on Fernando and Diego. What did you know? Goldust and Stardust won with Dark Matter.
How about that?
Shocking, right?
They're getting ever closer to the Cosmic Cube.
Key.
Whatever.
We had a tribute to Joan Rivers, which was nicely done by WWE. Unexpected and nicely done.
Very classy move by WWE.
We had Titus O'Neil versus Adam Rose. The Bunny.
Wait. Before we go on, there's just something I want to say about that. Whether you liked her or hated her, or didn't really know who she was, it was a nice tribute. But for everybody complaining that WWE didn't do a tribute to Robin Williams when he died, here's the thing. WWE does not do a tribute to every celebrity that passes away. WWE only does tributes to celebrities who have been associated with their product in the past. Joan Rivers was associated with WWE in the 80s. She was at WrestleMania. Robin Williams was never associated with WWE, therefore they're not going to do a tribute to him.
I should mention... Just saying.
Just saying. I saw that out there and I'm like, really? Really? They don't do that for everybody.
Yeah. The Usos attack Goldust and Stardust with the crutch after the match. I should mention that. Titus O'Neil versus Adam Rose. The Bunny was around. He had a super kick to Heath Slater, and then Rose went with the party found on Titus O'Neil, and then the Bunny did a big old splash, the Bunny splash, or whatever they call it. So there you go.
Poor Heath and Titus.
It's getting them on TV. Roman did an interview with Renee Young. She asked Roman if he knew what Randy meant, and he said it would be a season period no one forgot. Roman says that he doesn't know what he meant, But Randy may be the Viper, but he may be out of Venom, and that Roman, since he's the antidote, which leads to the main event, Randy Orton, Mr. Chinlock against Roman Reigns, in the Chinlock Fest that SummerSlam was. Do you want to talk about the match before I get to the finish?
What? For Heath, why are they making him fight animals? But for Randy and Roman, chinlock, punch, chinlock, RKO, chinlock, snooze fest. Randy, learn another rest hold besides a chinlock.
She said it as best as I could. So they had a pretty good match. It picked up towards the end. Things were going down. And then, well, Superman punch. Orton is down, but Reigns can't crawl across the ring to make cover. So Orton is signaling for Kane and Seth Rollins. And then here comes a bunch of people. It's like, wait, what? Oh.
I thought it was the cops.
I didn't know what it was. I was like, wait, what? And there was a bunch of dudes came down to the ring as the ring crew. Because now they had, see with the cage? They now have spikes on the end of the cage to put it to keep it in place because of the new way because of the new cage that we've never seen before. So they had to come down and push up the spikes so the poles would go right into it.
This is why a cage that rests on the ring is better.
Yeah. So the guys came down in the what the hell moment. So
there were a lot of those moments tonight.
There were. So Orton eventually gets locked in the cage with Roman Reigns. Reigns takes the control, hits the spear. Everyone's oh my god! Kane breaks into the cage. He gets taken out a little bit, but then Seth Rollins decides to be a Chris Jericho and die from the top of the cage and went, and he killed Roman Reigns, taking him down with a big crossbody. And then they beat on Roman Reigns, choke slams, steel chairs, over and over and over again. And we had a curb stomp onto the chair to end Monday Night Raw.
Great, great, great finish to Raw. Them coming down all over the cage was a little awkward. Seth almost got impaled.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I'm going to get in. Oh, wait, there's a spike. What?
Yeah, what? So, yeah, Seth almost got hurt, but this was a really nice ending, a very strong ending to the show. The Authority looked good. And, I mean, it made up for me, at least for the match, because the match itself was just okay. I don't think Randy and Roman have the chemistry that Roman needs, just because Randy is very methodical.
You don't say.
Just a little bit. And Roman's very quiet.
You don't say.
The personalities, you don't necessarily have the big personality in Randy Orton to counteract Roman Reigns' quiet nature. And it's just not, because Roman's somewhat methodical himself. Roman really only has a few big moves, and that's it. So it's like, otherwise, it's a very slow, very kind of dull match. And it's like, Roman just needs someone that can, has a slightly bigger personality that can sort of help counteract his quiet nature and make it just a little bit more exciting. Because honestly, it's like Roman and Randy, aside from the chin locks, I don't remember much about any of the matches that they've had. And every time you see that come up, you're like, oh my god, why? Why are we having this match again? Why are they doing this again? It's just, to me, it's not exciting. I know a lot of people like it. Just to me, Randy versus Roman does absolutely nothing for me, and I'd rather they find someone that can work with Roman, that will sell for Roman, to make him look really good. Because if the point is to build Roman and make him into a star, then you need to find people that you can have him work with that will sell for him and make him look like that star. So, but this was a really nice finish, a good build to probably Roman versus Seth or the rumored four-way or I'm sorry, tag team match when Ambrose comes back, because Ambrose is due back next week? 2 weeks?
I don't know if he's going to be around for Night of Champions.
I heard a rumor he might be around for Night of Champions. If he's not around for Night of Champions, then he will probably be, or he should definitely be around for Hell in a Cell.
He'll probably be around for Hell in a Cell. My thought is that it'll be Jericho and Roman taking on Orton and Rollins at the pay-per-view.
I just don't want that.
I don't want it either, but I have a feeling it could go in that direction.
Probably. And if that's the direction, then Bray Wyatt got screwed again. And yeah, it's just, it's, to me, it's not okay.
So we'll see what happens there. So that was the season premiere of Monday Night Raw. A lot better than the last 2 weeks of programming that we were not able to cover. So it's a good thing we're back for the season premiere of the post show and for Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I would agree. It was a little bit better, but it was, for me, when they opened the show with the cage match, and they opened with such a strong match, and then you followed with the really good Divas match, you're kind of expecting really good things, and then everything just went downhill from there. And there was a lot of filler, and there was a lot of crap that kind of didn't need to be in there. But it was better than what it has been, I guess. I don't know.
Good open, good finish. It's going to get people talking. Speaking of getting people to talk, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's The Rack.
Yes, it is, where we are talking to WWE Diva, Miss All Red Everything, Eva Marie, where we talk to her about Season 3 of Total Divas. We get her to dish a little bit about the show, tell us what's coming up, especially about her upcoming recommitment to Jonathan. So you definitely, definitely want to tune into that.
That's Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR_Rack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, and The Unusual. The hashtag BlameRob is in full effect.
Dude, it's Monday!
And you know who we got. He got the person from Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I know he did. You killed Truett Cathy, Rob.
Hashtag blame Rob. At CB Radio WTR on Facebook.com/cigarettebutts and bandanas. Sunday night is WTR Sunday night with the trio known as Tim Stein Mace and the Omega. Follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday night, Facebook.com/Russell Talk Radio. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show. Right after Monday Night Raw, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you listen live, listen on TuneIn Radio as well as WildTalkRadio.com. Just get the app. It's free. You can listen to all programmings on TuneIn Radio. Just search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And Stitcher for the archives as well. Again, search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And same for iTunes. We're on there as well. Go ahead.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, sigwarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitter, if I could talk. Links are available on sigwarddesigns.com as well. Please tune into The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, Thursday night, right here on wildtalkradio.com. And as we've plugged it a million times, tell your friends about Eva Marie. Tune in. It was a fun interview. We had a blast talking to her. So it's a must listen if you're into Total Divas.
Exactly. Thanks to PWMania.com and Wrestling Figure Wednesday, YouTube.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay Ward. I'm Soraka. We'll see you next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, Thursday night for The Rack, and all week long along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network right here on WildTalkRadio.com.